Welcome to our Wednesday night. No, our Tuesday night Bible study. We changed. And tonight's message, and before we get started, you're in a live audience. Everybody say hello.
Hello.
So if you're ever around the Orlando area on a Tuesday night, come on by. How would you find us? Just email us at info@virtualchurchmedia.com. We'll give you the secret location where we do these broadcasts from. And so I am David. This is my lovely wife, Joanna. And there's the Queen's Wave. We are the Herobedians, virtualchurchmedia.com. Download our mobile app. You will get on demand from the palm of your hand accelerated growth in your spiritual walk using technology. We'll either use technology or we'll be used by it. Let's make things happen. Let's not just watch what happened, and let's not wonder what happened. Let's be first, and let's be at the top of the mountain with our megaphone, not at the bottom of the mountain, just making noise that cannot be heard amidst the multiplied voices. Tonight, we're going to talk about the seven doors. Tonight, we're going to discover the seven doors. I did not say the seven dwarfs. We are in Orlando by Disneyland, or Disney World. Yeah, I came from Orange County, Florida by Disneyland. I moved to Orange County, Florida by Disney World. Tonight, we're not talking about the seven dwarfs. We're talking about the seven doors. And doors open and shut. Doors lead to good places, and doors lead to not so good places. So make sure that because Jesus has given you the key of David, that whatever door you shut, none can open, and whatever door you open, none can shut. You can open doors with the keys to the kingdom you've been given as a believer. Isaiah 22:22, I will give unto you the key to the house of David, that whatever you open, none can shut, and whatever you shut, none can open. Also in Revelation 3:5, as Jesus is speaking to the seven churches in the book of Revelation, he talks about opening and shutting doors. God has a lot to say about doors. He has a lot to say about gates, and he has a lot to say about keys. Tonight, we're going to be focused in on doors, specifically seven biblical doors in the Bible. Some you want to not open, others you want to open, others you want to invite others to open. We're going to get into that. You ready?
Yep.
So come, Holy Spirit, give us ears to hear, eyes to see. Give us hearts to receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save, transform, mature our souls, that we might walk in the fullness of the blessing of Christ, that we might be vessels of honor, fit for the Master's use, and prepared unto every good work. There are three places in Scripture when it talks about the mind of Christ. I want to highlight these three. There's more than that, but here's what it says. It says, allow this mind to be in you, talking about the mind of Christ. So one is we allow it, outer courts. The next verse I want to talk about, it says, arm yourself with this same mind. Well, what is it? Do we allow it, or do we take action and arm ourselves? Well, in the outer courts, we allow it, and then we move into the inner courts, and then we begin to feed on the word of God, putting off the old nature and putting on the new, which is renewed in knowledge. We now take every thought captive unto the obedience of Christ, casting down vain imaginations and every high and pretentious thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, 2 Corinthians 10:3-5. And then we put off the old man and we put on the new. It's an action. We arm ourselves and we put on the new, getting our mind renewed with knowledge. So we allow it by choice. Then we take action and arm ourselves by studying the Word of God, coming to Bible studies like this, watching online, feeding on the Word of God, fellowshipping with other believers, spending time in prayer. So we allow outer courts, arm inner courts, take action. And then it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, reading on to 16, in this context, it says, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor heart conceived the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But he has revealed them to us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches the deep things of God. And then it goes on to say, verse 16, 1 Corinthians 2:16, but you have the mind of Christ. So which is it? Do we allow it? Do we arm ourselves, take action, or do we have it? And the answer is yes. The answer is yes. The triune will of God, knowing what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God, the 30, the 60, the 100-fold harvest, the outer courts, the inner courts, the Holy of Holies, the body, the soul, the spirit, Egypt, the wilderness, Canaan land, the past, the present, and the future, the God who hath delivered us, 2 Corinthians 1:10. The God who does deliver us, and the God who will yet deliver us. He is the God of the past, the present, and the future tense of deliverance. When we walk in him, we live in him, and we move in him, and have our very being. Then as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons and the daughters, mature believers in the Lord that have the mind of Christ. You want to know what courage is? Courage is fear that has said its prayers. Courage is fear that has said its prayers. We start fearful, anxious. Be anxious for nothing, but sometimes we are fearful and sometimes we are anxious. But it says be anxious for nothing. So what do? We take our fears into prayer, and our fears then turn into courage. We become courageous in him because we allow this mind to be in us. Then we arm ourselves with the same mind. We take action. We allow the washing of the water of the word to cleanse our old stinking thinking. Yeah. And then what happens is, then we have the mind of Christ. So is it allow, arm, or we have? And the answer again is yes, because that is the triune will of God. The good, the better, the best, the 30, the 60, the 100-fold. Harvest, the body, the soul, the spirit, the Egypt, the wilderness, where God gets a wild in us out, and Canaan land, where we sit down and inherit all things and be partakers of the covenant. I've got good news for you today. If you're standing in front of a Goliath and Goliath is standing between you and your promise, if God trusted you with a Goliath, it's because he sees a David on the inside of you.
Amen.
Nice, huh? Nice. And by the way, it doesn't matter how old you are. You still have purpose with God. If you have a pulse, you have an assignment. If you have a pulse, if you have a pulse, you have an assignment. And everything that's been written in the scrolls for you, that's been written from before the foundation of the world, we just release them now. Release those words of God, because you're preordained in Christ Jesus from before the foundation of the world to do good works. And you're going to leave a dent in the earth, and your ceiling in life and ministry and business is going to become the ceiling of your life at one point, but it will become the floor of the next generations, because he always saves the best wine for the last. Okay, so that's just a foundation. That's a freebie. Let's get into the message on discovering the seven doors. We're going to talk about seven doors. Are there only seven doors in Scripture? Probably not. But these are the seven doors we're going to highlight tonight. We never want to limit God. A lot of times, I remember when I wrote my book, Hearing God, 25 Different Ways, it was actually Hearing God, 7 Ways. And I wrote down those 7 ways that I knew, and I would go to sleep, and then God would highlight things out of Scripture to me, and I'd be like, Hearing God, 10 ways. Then it was 12 ways, then it was 15 ways, and it was 20 ways, and I finally got to 25 ways, and in the final chapter of the book, in one paragraph, I had 5 more that are hidden in there. It's actually 30, but it's called 25 Different Ways God Speaks from the Bible. Anyway, so that's all anchored in Scripture. If you haven't read that book, Hearing God, 25 Different Biblical Ways, I encourage you to get it, or you can download our mobile app at virtualchurchmedia.com. Subscribe, share this. Get it out to people, and download that mobile app where you can have on-demand learning from the palm of your hand. It also has a 1-year Bible reading program, audio Bible, and a lot of my books are now on audio format on that app, and it's at no cost. I didn't say it was free, because somebody paid for it. Oh, trust me.
After people paid for
it. Hell yeah, somebody paid for that app, including me. But, yeah, you know, salvation is free, but Jesus paid a heavy price. That app is no cost, but yeah. Pay it forward. So other people can also have it. Lord, we thank you for the people that helped make that possible.
Amen.
That we have it today on demand from the palm of our hand. The seven doors. I'm David Herabedi and I approve that message. Okay. The seven doors. The first door is the door of temptation. We're talking about doors some of you want to keep closed. Other doors you want to open. Because he's given you the authority. He's given you the key to the house of David. Whatever door you shut, none can open. Whatever door you open, none can shut. You know you have authority over the doors of your life?
That's cool.
Wow. You have authority over the doors of your life. You know you can leave your door unlocked. You can let anybody in. Or you can lock the door and keep other people out. Or you can use your keys to go some places you don't need to go. Or you can invite some people some places they need to go, like to church. Okay. The door of temptation, Genesis 4:7. Cain opened the door. I hear you knocking, devil. But you can't come in. Don't let the devil ride. Because if you let him ride, he'll want to drive. Don't let him ride. Don't let him flag you down. Because if he flags you down, he'll turn your life around. Don't let him ride. So sometimes you just have to close the door and not let people in. Sometimes you have to block people on your phone. We're not doing real well with that. But there's a message there. By the way, Jet Ride to Hell, Journey to Freedom. JetRideBook.com. You get it today. We're going on audio next. There we go. Well, that one's just not going to stay. Well, let's give it a try. Anyway, we're having fun. Okay. So this is social media, and you can get away with a lot of liberty. It's not like TV broadcasts where you have to have 28 minutes and 30 seconds for the commercials, intros, outros included. By the way, we're on Crossing the Way TV out to the Middle East now to primarily Arabic and Hebrew-speaking nations that also speak English. And we are prime time at 2 in the morning over there.
Whoa.
Why? Because they drink a lot of coffee in those countries and they come home and they watch TV. That's actually the sweet spot, believe it or not. Different cultures, and it's so hot right now that they sleep during the day and they get up and go out at night. So we actually have prepaid 1 year. A donor wrote a check to cover 1 year of distribution into the Middle East, and that's why we shot 24 TV broadcast a few weekends ago right here in this studio, and those broadcasts are being edited for 28 minutes and 30 seconds and they are going out to the nations as the gospel of Jesus Christ is going out. So number one, the door of temptation, Genesis 4:7. Cain yielded to temptation and slaughtered his twin brother. First murder in the Bible is when he opened the door to jealousy. Do you know jealousy is a murdering spirit? Oh, they're just jealous of me. Be careful. And if you're jealous of somebody, you might murder them with your tongue.
Your thoughts,
your words, your prayers. I've heard some Pentecostal charismatic witchcraft prayers that didn't line up with the word. I'm like, you know not what man, know not what manner of spirit you're up. Calling fire from heaven on your brother and sister. Jesus was forever lives to make intercession, Hebrews 7:25, and the devil, the accuser, forever loves to accuse the brethren before the throne of God day and night. Two ministries go on before the throne of God day and night. The ministry of intercession by Jesus, the ministry of accusation by the devil. Hebrews 7:24 and 25, intercession Jesus. Revelation 12, verses 10 through 12, the ministry of accusation. What ministry are you in? Don't open the door. Don't let the devil ride. Okay, number two, the door of salvation, John 10:7. Jesus says, I am the door. All who enter through me will be saved. So you've got the door of temptation. We want to keep the door shut to the enemy. And if we do feel like opening that door to the enemy, what do? We go into prayer and we close it. See, because he said, pray that you enter not into temptation. I think it's Luke 22:40 and 41. The word pray that you enter into not into temptation is not the word, oh Lord, I pray I don't enter into temptation. I mean, if that's where you're at, start there. It's a great place. Allow this mind to be in you. And then arm yourself with this same mind, which is take action and begin to ask the Lord for his heart and his mind on the matter. And get his perspective from heaven looking down, not your or my perspective looking across at the situation or looking up at the circumstances. A lot of times in politics, we have to get above the fray and see what God is doing, not what this party or that party is doing or this law or that law is passing. We need to get above the fray and see where God sits in the heaven and laughs at the wicked. For he knows their day is coming. He laughs at the wicked. He will have them running around like chickens with their head cut off, you know, bantering about thinking they're really doing something. I remember when I was out stealing jets for the Colombian drug cartel and selling multi-kilogram quantities of cocaine. By the way, Jet Ride Hell, Journey to Freedom, jetridebook.com. You can hear the whole story. But here's what happened. I thought I was really doing something. I thought I was all that in a bag of chips, right? Me, myself, and I, the unholy trinity, we had it going on, sitting on our little throne. 5 watchstores, or the mill on Dun & Bradstreet at 24, back when it got you more than a cup of coffee like it does now. But people couldn't believe that I was getting away with things, even though most people didn't know what I was doing. But when judgment fell, it fell swiftly. And guess what? It's going to fall swiftly on people that look like they're getting away with things. Yeah, for sure. And when it happens, you're going to go, whoa, that was God. And you're not even going to be like, yeah, I'm just glad they got theirs. You're going to be like, whoa. And you're going to go, that's God. Because God's judgments are righteous.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Our judgments are not so righteous. So we need to have that heart. So number one, the door of temptation, Genesis 4:7, Cain yielded to temptation of jealousy, opened the door to a spirit of murder, and he killed his brother, Abel. First murder in the Bible is over jealousy. Guard our hearts. Keep them with all diligence, Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 and 22. Guard your heart, for out of your heart flow all the other issues of life. So if we don't guard our hearts, but our hearts become embittered, we become embattled internally and externally. I know a guy who was doing time. It's laughable now. But he had this car. He paid about $5,500 for it, which, you know, doesn't seem like a lot of money. But it's over 35 years ago. And he was in a community and he was washing the car. And somebody was jealous of the car that he had. It was a used car, but he, you know, nice paint job, this and that. He was so proud. He worked hard. He got this car. And the guy didn't have a nicest car as him at the car wash. And this is back when you washed your own car. I mean, I got this thing. I got the unlimited pass. So I go through as many times a month as I can. My car is always clean. But I don't get out to clean it. Long story short, this is back when you cleaned your own car. And a guy spit on the hood of his car. And he became angry and he killed the guy. And I was asking him, you killed him because he spit on your car? Why didn't you just wash the car off and move on? Because he disrespected me, man. I'm not going to put up with that disrespect. I said, but now you're doing prison time. I said, let me ask you a question. I said, do you still have the car? He goes, no, I had to sell it for attorney fees. I'm thinking, you could have washed the car off. So once you got that prize, the very thing that you sought when somebody dishonored your asset, your item, the thing that you fought for and worked for and put in your time, talents, and energies, in an instant, you didn't just lose it, but you lost your freedom. Hold things very loosely. Always be willing to let go of them. Don't allow them to be idols. You know, I'm willing to like give things away easily because I know God will just refill my coffers. So when God speaks to me, I'm like quick to give it away. I give away watches and shirts and, you know, all kinds of, I love to give gifts. It's an expression of the love language, you know, that God put in me. Some people it's, you know, words of affirmation or acts of service. Other people it's physical touch. Hey, you're doing a great job. Some people it's, you know, giving gifts. And so there's 5 love languages primarily. I think I just touched on 4, but that's not part of our teaching tonight. It's just a little snippet. But hold on to things loosely. I'm not saying don't be a wise steward. You need to be a wise steward of things. But if God tells you to give it away, release it, because God never asks you to release what's in your hand unless he wants to give you what's in his hand.
Yeah.
And his hand, a lot bigger. Mm-hmm. So if you'll let go of it when God tells you to, then, and put it into the hands of the person he's directing you to, it's because he wants to give you another item. And the other thing is, if you are ever asked by the Lord to give something up that's precious to you, and you're willing to do it, like Abraham was required to give up Isaac, God was required to give up Jesus on the cross, and he became the firstborn of many brethren. Abraham gave up Isaac, and he got him back. And guess what? Abraham became the father of many nations, and Father God became the father of many brethren. When Jesus died on the cross, he opened the door for salvation. Okay, so door number one, the door of temptation, Genesis 4:7. Door number two, the door of salvation, John 10:7. Jesus is the door. All who enter through Jesus are saved. There's a lot of ways to Jesus, but Jesus is the only way to the Father. He said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man goes to the Father except by seminary graduation. No. No man goes to the Father except by a specific denomination that you join water baptism at 2 o'clock in the afternoon in a full sunshine with the right apostolic succession. They hold you down 3 minutes till the bubbles start coming up completely, and then we know. No, that's not what it says. It's so simple. The gospel is so simple. No man goes to the Father except by me. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. I am able to save from the uttermost to the guttermost those that come to God. But believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Okay. Number three, the door of obedience, 1 Samuel 15:22. To obey is better than sacrifice. We walked after the Spirit and not after the flesh, Romans 8:1-2. Obedience brings the blessing. So when you go through a door of obedience, sometimes you have to go through the door by stepping out of the boat onto the water in the middle of the night because Jesus is out there bidding you to come. Wow, that's tough. Sometimes you got to go through the door of obedience to approach somebody and tell them you're sorry. And that act of contrition brings reconciliation and opens the door for something else. There's so many ways you can be obedient. And a lot of times, obedience, which is better than sacrifice, is what the Bible says. Obedience is, you can sacrifice all you want. God's not impressed with your sacrifices or mine. I'm going to go on a 40-day fast. I'm going to get my body to be burned. If you have not love, you have like a clanging cymbal and a resounding brass, 1 Corinthians 13 says. But when the Lord asks you to do something, that's faith, because he spoke and you obeyed. You cannot make up with sacrifice what you failed to do by disobedience. Delayed obedience is disobedience. Delayed obedience is disobedience. I remember I was given a prophetic word for a guy that was getting ready to sit down at a piano. And I was supposed to get up and prophesy. I didn't know the man. I didn't even know he was saved. And he went to the piano, and the Lord was like stirring on the inside of me. So strong. I'm like, oh, like a soda pop bottle is shaking up on the inside, and it's about to blow. That's how strong the prophetic word. But I sat on it because I didn't want to miss God. Didn't want to be wrong, didn't want to be embarrassed, but I had disobedience as a young prophetic voice. So after he got done playing, the presence of God came, and turns out he'd been a pastor. He had backslidden. He and his son ended up in prison. He didn't even want people to know he was a pastor. He'd been a worship leader. He knew the word inside and out. And I was supposed to prophesy, today your ministry is restored unto you, blah, 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 blah. So I got up and I did it afterwards. It was like, hello, duh. You know, it didn't have any impact. I mean, anybody can prophesy after the fact once it's evident. But had I spoken it prior to, it would have had impact on him. And it would have had an impact upon the congregation that God had called this person. Anyway, because I was disobedient for 3 days, I had just a grieving feeling in my spirit. Because I had quenched the Holy Spirit. I was disobedient by delayed obedience. I've missed the window. There are times that you can conceive. If you try afterwards, you miss the window. There's a time to plant and a time to sow and a time to reap, a time to plant and a time to harvest. I mean, there's just a time and a season for everything under the sun, so we have to do it in that moment. And if we don't, we can say, Lord, I missed it. Redeem the time for the days are evil. Give me another opportunity. That's repentance, and then he'll reset it. And sometimes it's easier the next time. Sometimes it's more difficult the next time because you have a level of faith that must be exercised to overcome things. Okay, that's a door of obedience. 1 Samuel 15:22. To obey is better than sacrifice. And also Romans 8:1-2. Because we walk after the Spirit in obedience, not after the flesh in disobedience. Obedience brings the blessings. Number four, the door of evangelism. Mark chapter 16, verses 15 through 20. The door to the world is open right now to win the lost. The door to the world right now is open to win the lost. You want to know how you can reach the whole world right now? Through your mobile device. There are pastors that I know that pastored congregations for 30 years. They probably never had more than 100 members in their congregation in those maximum time of 30 years. They retired and they were done. They had all this wisdom, this knowledge, pastoral revelation, all this, and they're gonna go to the glue factory. All this, and they're gonna go retire. All this, and they're gonna go play golf. But if you have a pulse, you have an assignment. If you have a pulse, you have an assignment. And if you have a pulse, you have an impartation for somebody else to raise up the next generation, because our ceiling in ministry should become the next generation's floor if we do it right. He always saves the best wine for the last, okay? So here's what happened. Some younger kid met with the pastor and said, you know, you've got a really good message. Why don't you start doing daily posts on social media? Well, I don't know how to do that. My flip phone has a rotary dial. Yeah. Well, why don't you get a smartphone? Oh, no, I don't want to get one of those. Well, let me show you how this works. And the younger generation, as God turns the hearts of the fathers back to the children and the hearts of the children back to the fathers, Malachi 4, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 area, Malachi chapter 4. God will turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers and the hearts of the fathers back to the children, lest he smite the earth with a curse. So if you're a father in the faith, look for somebody to mentor and raise up. You have something for them called wisdom. They have something for you called technology and a lot of energy. Right. And you can redirect their energy as a laser beam instead of as a wide blur of light, and they can do some great things with it. So they need you and you need them. Little children I have written unto you, young men I have written unto you, fathers I have written unto you. 1 John chapter 2 verses 13, 12 through like 16. So there's little children, young men, and fathers. There's growth cycles in the Lord. So what happened was, some youthful person with technology took time to sit down with a father in the faith and to show him technology. They never had more than 100 people in their congregation in 30 years. But now with social media, they have 100,000 followers that look and long to hear what they have to say on their mobile devices, their tablets, their computers. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 1:10 and 1:11, it says, may the Lord make you 1,000 times more. I used to look at that verse, and the Lord showed that verse to me, and I'd had a dream where he was going to make me 1,000 times more, and I just didn't see it in Scripture, and I came across that verse like 9 years after that dream, but the verse had been there the whole time. I don't know why it hid in the Bible, in the trusty 66 books of the Bible, maybe. But it was at the timing of the Lord, the verse I'd read over in Deuteronomy 1:10 and 1:11, may the Lord make you 1,000 times more, suddenly lifted off the page. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is possible. This was really in about 1999, I think I've been born again about 9 years. I saw that verse of scripture and I'm like, oh my gosh. Then the technological revolution was birthed. And when that happened, you saw people become millionaires and billionaires, like in a matter of a few years. It was ridiculous. Then cryptocurrency came. People became crypto billionaires. You know, in a matter of like a year or 2 years, it was insane. How can you have that exponential increase? Because God added technology. So with technology, we can either harness it and use it or watch the enemy harness it and use it. But remember, we either make things happen, watch things happen, or wonder what happened. Let's make things happen by obedience when God speaks. So now these pastors that had less than 100 members their whole life now are 1,000 times more with 100,000 in their congregation on social media. You can do it too. You know, Jesus was called into ministry really by his father, but his mother participated by saying, hey, Jesus, we're out of wine. What's that have to do with me? Oh, they weren't out of wine until your disciples got here. Okay, that's not really in the scripture, but, you know, might be inferred. I don't know, implied. So anyway, he says, you know, whatever Jesus says to you, do it. And so Nike knocked that off. Whatever, you know, do it. Do it. Yeah, they became a billion-dollar company off Mary's words. So John chapter 2, the wedding at Cana, whatever Jesus tells you to do it, do it. The keys to unleashing the miraculous are twofold. One, hearing Jesus speak. Two, doing whatever he tells you to do. It's really simple. Some of the greatest men and women of God that I know are not great theologians, but they are really good, great neologians. They're on their knees in prayer. They hear God. They get up. And I remember some of them will call me on the phone. I think God spoke this to me in prayer. What was it? They told me, and I'd be like, man, that's impossible. They're like, okay, thank you. That's confirmation I needed. Now I know it's God. So God will take what you do in obedience in the natural, he'll add a supernatural to it. You're super to it, becomes supernatural. So God, may he make you 1,000 times more quickly in these end days. Because if you have a pulse, you have an assignment. You might feel retired. And now that you got this new set of tires, let's go out and do something with them. You got technology. On demand from the palm of your hand, you can also set it out. So ask the Lord what to do. So door of evangelism, Mark 16, verses 15 through 20. The door to the world is open to win the lost. You can use your mobile device. You don't have to raise money for the missionary trip. Just have a data connection and a smartphone and go, go, go. So the Bible says in Mark 16, verse 15 through 20, it says, go into all the world, preach the gospel. These signs will follow them that believe in my name. They will cast out demons, speak with new tongues. Somebody slips them a Mickey, they'll drink it down, poison, won't bother them. They'll pick up serpents in their hand. You shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. That's just kind of a loose translation. Bottom line is, go out and do the stuff. Jesus is with you. If he sends you, go do it, and he'll confirm the word that you preach with signs and wonders following. And if you have opposition, you'll cast out demons and you'll have the power. And somebody tries to give you poison at the table, you pray over it, you eat yours, and he didn't die, she didn't die, what's going on? They want your God. I'm not saying to go test God, but if the Apostle Paul was out on the Isle of Malta in Acts 28, and he was out to build a fire and grab some sticks, and a serpent came out, a venomous beast, latched onto his wrist, they said, you know, he just survived a shipwreck, he must be a murderer. And then he shook the venomous beast off into the fire and suffered no harm. Then they thought he was a god. People are always going extreme, you know. Oh, he must be a murderer. Oh my God, he lived. He must be a god. And no, he serves God. That's the difference. When you serve God, you have something upon you that's supernatural in nature. But you don't want to bring people to yourself. You want to bring people to the one who you met that made you super. Okay, so that's the door of evangelism. Number five, the door of provision. Psalm 78, 23. The door of heaven was open and it rained down manna with supernatural provision. Do you know it doesn't matter what situation you're in, God will provide. I remember I was in 1992, they had shipped me from one facility to another. I think they were trying to indict me again, which they eventually did, like a couple years later. And then God delivered me from that case. And I'm still doing 22 years at the time, so it's not like I escaped something. God still got his pound of whatever out of it and developed me into who I am today through the incarceration. And I remember I was in a prison cell in Leavenworth Penitentiary. I was in the Cuban unit is what they called it at the time. It was doghouse, D house, they called it doghouse. And it was about five tiers, and they had put the Marietta boat lift refugees in there that had no charges against them. And they'd been in there for, you know, I think 15 years at that point. And they would just yell and scream all. I would too, I'd be upset, you know. And so it was just noise all day and all night long. It was like something out of a movie. And when I got in there, I was in there with a Jewish guy, and we had cockroaches in our cell. And I remember I'd been there a couple years earlier, and I didn't know my authority then with the 200 cockroaches, but I knew my authority now. So I commanded the cockroaches to leave my cell, right? And sure enough, they marched out within like about, you know, 3 or 4 minutes. I mean, all the cockroaches left. We were the only cockroach-free cell. But remember, I'd done 9 months in Leavenworth with the cockroaches, but I didn't know my authority. So we grow in this thing, right? Mm-hmm. And we didn't have any commissary or this or that. And one thing led to another. I said, I'm going to pray, you know, because we're going to be here. It's like 2 weeks before we can get any commissary, because even though you have money on your books, you only shop one day every 2 weeks when you're in the hole, the shoe, the solitary housing unit. So I am in there with Paulie, and we're in this 4x8 cell to where there's not even enough room, because his shoulders are too big to do push-ups next to the bunk and the wall. And it was one small cell. And so we were in there about that 4x8. And long story short, I said, Lord, I want some commissary. And about 10 minutes later, a tier tender, which is an inmate who gets out in this lockdown unit, and he tends to the tier. And there's like what we refer to as the bean hole. You know, like these prison stories are interesting. So there's a bean hole where they put your beans through the hole. That's why we call it a bean hole. These are these terms. If you read my book, we've got a prison dictionary in there. It helps explain it. So what happened was, all of a sudden, the tier tender shows up, and he says, oh, this is for you. And it's this bag of commissary. I've got toothbrush, toothpaste, shaving cream. I've got potato chips, tuna. I mean, it's like $50 or $60 worth of stuff. But you don't just accept something in prison, especially not Leavenworth Penitentiary, because you might end up with a boyfriend, right? And so, not trying to go there. Yeah, my name's Bubba. Anyway, so the good news is this. It was somebody who found out that I was there and I had helped them somewhere else, like a year before. And when they heard I was there, they sent over what they call a care package. And it was out of honor and respect. So now we got no cockroaches in the cell. We got $50, $60 worth of commissary, plus, you know, the food, you know, the three hots and the cot they give you. And it was a sign or a wonder, but I knew my authority and favor was upon me, because I'd been born again over 2 years at this point, and I'm on fire for the Lord when they're trying to indict me. By the way, when I left that cell, the prisoner remained behind, the cockroaches came back.
No way.
Yeah. So, you know, there's some people here who know who that is, Paulie. And so the funny part of that story is that God used me in that moment for some case law that ended up providing a motion that I wrote with a pencil and some paper that Paulie took out to his attorney on an attorney visit, who completely rejected the motion. But then he said, file it anyway. And the attorney went to research it, and sure enough, it got him from 30 to life down to 10 years run concurrent with another sentence. Paulie got out in 8 years and now owns a flooring company, employs all kinds of employees. And every year he'll send me like an overpriced shirt or a laptop, mm-hmm, computer. Or he'll pay for, you know, this crazy meal somewhere. And he's not even a born-again believer, but he understands honor. Sometimes God will bless you more through non-believers
yeah.
than he will through believers.
Yeah.
Believers will tip and non-believers will bless. It's interesting. But God's normally positioning them for salvation. Cornelius' love offerings came up as a memorial offering before God, and then God sent salvation to his house. You can't buy salvation with money, but you can certainly sow into the lives of men or women of God, and it will curry favor with heaven, and then more grace will come for God to bring the truth your way. Okay, so that's the door of provision God provided in the wilderness. He provided in the Marietta boat lift unit in 1992, 31 years ago. The cockroaches left and the care package came in. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich with commissary in prison, and he addeth no sorrow with it. There was no Bubba. Okay, number six. Do we have fun? We have fun. Okay, number six, the door of revelation, Revelation 4:1. The door of revelation is opened in heaven, and we have an invitation to come up higher. Revelation 4:1 says, and a door was opened in heaven, and a man said, come up hither. It was an invitation to come up. And God's giving us an invitation every day of our week that we might come boldly before the throne of grace, that we might obtain grace and mercy in the time of need. Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. I will give you rest. Matthew 11:28-30. So we have an invitation, 1 Corinthians 4:16, to come boldly before the throne of grace. Call upon me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things that thou knowest not. Jeremiah 33:3 is God's phone number. Jeremiah 33:3. And the good news is, if we ask anything according to his will, we know that he hears us. And if he hears us, we know that we have the petition we have asked of him. 1 John 5:14-15. And the good news continues. The gospel means good news. Gospel. It's the medicine we need, right? So God wants to give us access to the Holy of Holies with him. We get to allow ourselves to have this mind, the mind of Christ. And we arm ourselves by reading the word and attending studies and fellowshipping and praying with other people and praying alone with God. And then we have the mind of Christ where we can see from the future what God wants to bring into the present instead of living in the past and wondering if anything's ever going to change. Allow, arm, have. He's no respecter of persons, Acts 10:34. If he did it for me, if he did it for Joanna, he'll do it for you and you and you and you and you. For the gospel is for you, your children, and unto all that the Lord will call. My sheep hear my voice, and another they will not follow. Door of revelation, Revelation 4:1, is yours. And number seven, as we're closing, the door of choices.
That's a big one.
That's a big one. I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Listen to this, Deuteronomy 28:1-36. Blessings and curses. You choose this day whom you will serve. Joshua 24:15, New International Version. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself. When? This day. Every day is a new day to choose. Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your forefathers that they served beyond the river. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. I remember when I got out of prison, I had a friendship bracelet on my ankle from the feds. Had to get back to the house at a certain time. I remember I'd been gone for 2 decades, 19 years, 6 months, a week and a day in federal prison. I get out, I'm in the halfway house. They send me home in record time, like 3 weeks. I'd set a record. And I'm home with my parents and living in the basement. I'm working my job. And I remember, you know, you've only got so much time to get from work to home and to reconnect with your friendship bracelet on your ankle from the feds to the box to make sure you're not, you know, somewhere you shouldn't be. And I remembered we had a store. I won't even name the store because I don't want to validate the store. But I went into this store and I went to go buy toothpaste. And when I went in prison, I had like two choices. I had two choices of toothpaste for 20 years. And I remember occasionally they would switch out one of the choices, so you'd like have a third choice. So you'd be like, man, if you really like that toothpaste, you'd like to stock up on it, get like six of them, and just store them. And then everybody else would not have that choice, but you have, or somebody would come from another facility like, what kind of toothpaste did you bring? I mean, these were the exciting things in prison, right? Toothpaste flavors. And so maybe I had about four to choose from even by bartering and trading. So I walked into this place and I went over to the toothpaste aisle and I had about 15 minutes. So I hit all the lights right on the way home. And this place was so close to my house that I knew even if my car didn't start, I could run home and connect and have somebody go get the car. You know, these are the things you have to think about. Factor it in, factor it in. Making the moves, thinking all the time. Anyway, so I'm in there and I go into the toothpaste aisle to figure out which of the toothpaste I'm gonna get. Door of choices. And I walk in and there's hundreds of toothpastes. They're in different sizes. They're in different brands. They're in different packaging. You can buy a one. You can buy a double. You can buy a three pack. The three packs had bonuses with the fourth one free. This one had 33% more. Then you had, I remember Rembrandt toothpaste would make your teeth whiter. They had, remember when they had the little scrubbing bubbles in them? I don't know if that was really a thing or not, but you could feel like, but like your teeth were gonna get whiter, right? And so I'm looking at all the different things. Then there was price points, sale items, and there was a really high-end ones. And I couldn't make a decision. I'd been out of prison 5 weeks. 2 decades, 2 choices. Now I have 100 choices. And the clock was ticking. I could not make a decision. I ran out of time. And I got my friendship bracelet from the feds and me back to the house, and it connected with a home monitoring device. And I sat there and I thought, what toothpaste am I gonna get? And the next time I had an opportunity was a week later. And I went and bought 3 different types. Choices. Sometimes there's so many choices for believers that we don't know what to make on a decision, so we make none. Or sometimes we choose wrong. You know, the burnt hand learns quickly. Ow. Sometimes you make a bad choice, you kiss a few frogs and you meet some princes, right? And so we can learn from that wisdom and say, hey, I tried this, it doesn't work. I could write the book on how to do it wrong. I didn't learn it on YouTube videos. I learned it by experience. So learn from my experience. So communicate that to people that you see that are open to making better choices. And just say, I made that choice, it doesn't work. Share that with young women in relationships, young men in relationships, so they don't have to go through the heartache that you or I went through in bad decisions. I tell people when it comes to drug dealing, just say no. You know, it's funny, Joanna and I will be at a restaurant and I'll sniff out a drug dealer, right? And I remember one time we were ministering, we were in Kansas City, went to this like Italian place afterwards, and the Lord showed me a vision. This guy had triple beams in his closet, inositol for cut for the coke, you know, all this stuff, baggies, and he was a small level drug dealer and he was a waiter and he's very sharp. Really reminded me of myself at a younger age. He's at the table, and I just feel led to start to share with him my story. And his eyes are kind of saucer big, remember him? And then I started to share with him what I had in my closet at my age. It was 20 years younger. It was his age now. He's just staring at me because he doesn't know whether I'm a fed. He doesn't know whether I'm sharing a story, but he's heavily convicted. Anyway, we ended up praying for him and leading him to Jesus, and he went home to destroy his stuff and he got out of the drug business. So that's the door of choices. But if I came in with the Mr. T starter kit and the Rolex watch and I'm living large and in charge, he might have been my downline. But because I'd been bit and burned by that thing, and the burn hand learns quickly, even if it's 20 years in healing, I didn't want to see him go down that pathway with his destiny. So because of your experience, you know things other people don't know. But again, you didn't learn them on YouTube videos, although you might be learning this on YouTube. So those are the seven doors. I'm going to read them off real quick just so you've got them. For those that are owls, that are note takers. And by the way, it's good to be a note taker. It's one of the ways we learn. But don't just take notes and store them. Go write a book. Become a Bible teacher. Share with other people on social media, or a text message, or an email, or write a letter, or copy your notes and send them to somebody else. Don't just be a hearer of the word only, deceiving our own selves, but do what it says. So here's the seven doors. Number one, the door of temptation, Genesis 4:7. Cain yielded to jealousy and killed his brother. Number two, the door of salvation, John 10:7. Jesus is the door. Number three, the door of obedience. The door of obedience, 1 Samuel 15:22. To obey is better than sacrifice. Number four, the door of evangelism, Mark 16:15-20. The whole world is open unto you. Go preach the gospel. The message is go. The message is go. The message is go. If you haven't gone, the message is go. Amen. And number five, the door of provision, Psalm 78:23. The door of heaven was open and rained down manna with supernatural provision. My God will supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. If you read that in context, because they've been sowing, they were going to reap. So everybody quotes that verse. My God shall supply all my needs. He gives bread to the eater and seed to the sower. So he gives you bread to eat and seed to sow, not seed to sit on and not seed to eat. You got bread to eat and seed to sow. So sow a little, eat the bread, and then the provision comes. Okay, that's a whole nother message. Partner with us at virtualchurchmedia.com. Become a gold level member. We don't even have that on our site. But we do accept gold. Okay. Number six, door of revelation, Revelation 4:1. The door of revelation is open in heaven and we have an invitation to come up higher. That's prayer time and God will speak to you. Spend time alone with God and he will show you great and mighty things that you know not. And number seven, the door of toothpaste. I mean choices. Choices. Lord, give us good choices tonight. Give us good decision-making authority. Show us the authority that we have to take dominion over the garden of our life, even if it's in a prison cell in Leavenworth Penitentiary, in the doghouse unit, in a 4x8 cells laden with cockroaches, that we can command that which is under our dominion to leave in the name of Jesus. And you'll provide for us through the care package. Whatever that looks like, Lord. We thank you for providing in every area of our lives. And Lord, we thank you for giving us bread as eaters and seed as sowers. Father, I pray that you would put fresh seed in people's hands that they might sow, that it might create a cyclical blessing. Even as you did for me in 1990 when I sewed a book of stamps for $5.80, 20 stamps, 23 cents a piece at the time, to put things in perspective. And then you began to teach me about planting Christian lockers even back then, and it resulted in evangelism, and you began to prosper. You did it for me behind bars. I thank you, you'll do it for them and set them free from the chains that bind and the bars that limit. I break off limitation off of you, and I declare seed released unto you that you might sow. You know how we got our books into the prisons? My books, Jet Rydell, Journey to Freedom. We did like 15,000 books into the prisons. People weren't sowing. They weren't supporting. And I said, Lord, put the money in my hands. And he gave me a business model that lasted about 60 days. And that's how we got the money primarily to fund the books. And after it was funded, 15,000 copies. Actually about 16,500. But after that money came in, that business model dried up. Never recovered. But he gave seed unto the sower, but he also gave bread unto the eater. So if you'll open up your hands and say, Lord, I want to sow, I pray you'd put seed in my hands. He'll give you seed. Just when it comes in, remember what it's for. And you know how many people have read that book Behind Bars? They say 20 to 30 prisoners will read each copy of that book. About 16,500 copies. Somewhere between 3 to 500,000 prisoners have read that book because God put seed in my hand to sow and get the gospel into the prison. We get letters every week because of that prayer and that response from God and that obedience. And the door of choices was, what kind of pound paper should I put it on? And I bought the more expensive ones. You know why? Because I knew they would last longer. It's not a book that sits on your shelf unread. Or maybe read and then sits or shared one time in there 20 to 30 times. So for about 30 grand, let's say 300,000 read, it's about a dime a head. That's pretty good, brother. Can you spare a dime? Dropped a dime on the devil 300,000 times. Amen. Joanne, do you have anything?
Yeah. I just regarding the finances. So Lord, right now, we just pray for your angels to go to every family that's having a financial challenge right now in the name of Jesus. I'm seeing this vision of these boulders that the enemy has thrown at you that's been coming against you. So, Lord, now we commission the angels of the Lord, according to Psalm 91, to demolish these boulders that are coming against their finances in Jesus' name. Father, I pray that every curse that's come against them is now broken by the blood of Jesus. We lose the blood of Jesus right now to break every financial chain. Everything that's been trying to choke out your finances, in Jesus' name, we extinguish with the fire of the Lord. We thank you now, Lord, for moving profoundly, Lord, to all the seed that they've already sown into the kingdom. Lord, we bring that to your remembrance right now, that you will remember what they have sown and you will answer, Lord. Your word says that you will rebuke the devourer on our behalf.
That's right, that's
right. So we declare your word in Malachi 5, that you rebuke the devourer on their behalf right now.
Malachi 3.
In Jesus' name, Malachi 3, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for your word. It does not come back void. So we release it now into the atmosphere to rebuke the devourer in Jesus' name. We thank you that every stronghold must break, every chain must break, in the name of Jesus.
I just can't get this verse out. He gives seed unto the sower and bread unto the eater. Father, give us wisdom on what's the bread to eat and what's the seed to sow and the harvest to keep. I've got a teaching. I teach on the five jars. There's a tithing jar, an offering jar, a savings jar, an investing jar, and a spending jar. Tithing jar is a tenth. It's never more than a tenth, never less than a tenth. Tithe means tenth. Offering can be anything above that. But as a rule of thumb, let's say a tithe is a tenth. Offering is 5%. So 10% and 5. Savings should be 10. Investing should be 10. And spending should be 65%. If you're spending more than 65%, you're probably out of balance. Should be saving, investing, tithing, and offering, and then spending. So pray into that and ask the Lord to recalibrate you. The Lord's doing some recalibration in our life right now. And it's an exciting season. We've sowed a lot. It's harvest time. You've sowed a lot. It's harvest time. The gold of Ophir is coming in. Use it wisely. Save, invest, maybe in some technology for the thousandfold harvest. But you could also lose it in an instant. be led by the Spirit. Tithe, offering, savings, investing, and spending. You don't always need the newest phone. Although I have one. But you know what? I actually had my last phone for 3 years before I upgraded. Have the best of the Lord, and He'll show you where to do what you're supposed to do, even down to toothpaste. We love you. We'll see you next week. I'm David.
I'm Joanna.
We are the Herobedians, virtualchurchmedia.com.